When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
The drugs from my generation. And it's a sin. The gods, the freaks, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Talk to you.
Baby.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the dipper dogs.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am the artist, formerly known as Pizza Funny, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It doth be. DPP.
You know, not only are these episodes great, and you're running the soundboard. Like, it's great that I don't have to post the episode, but we get the special intro with a little extra long, little NWO hit. I like it.
I'm like, it just makes it easier to get to 5 minutes. Like, I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Extended version.
Yeah, I just let it go an extra 30 seconds, whatever. Welcome to the 438th edition of the DWI podcast, folks, right here on Chairshot Radio Network. AJ out on assignment. I doubt he'll make it by the end of the show, but you never know. Regardless, because irregardless isn't a word, we have a stellar show for you guys today as the USA has the ball in control of the box and he misses a shot just wide as they're playing down a man as we speak here Thursday night in Copa America. Bronny James drafted by the Lakers, DP. 55th in the second round. You don't care.
Would have thought it was going to happen.
Yeah, I think his agent was telling teams, unless you're Lakers or the Suns, don't draft Bronny James.
Right? Don't bother. You got to call dad first.
Right. So, I leased a new car at the end of March. And there's not even 2,000 miles on it. This is Tuesday. Yeah. Was that Tuesday. So I'm leaving to go to work. And I'll hit up the Quick Trip sometimes on my way. The one by the driving range on Moreland.
Yeah. Get yourself a coffee.
Yeah. I like the Monster Loco Mocha.
All right.
Those are pretty good. And then if I didn't eat breakfast or whatever, a breakfast sandwich from there is pretty darn good too.
A nice warm one or like,
yeah, just, oh yeah, no, they're hot and ready to go. Sausage, yeah. Egg and cheese, sausage, egg and cheese croissant sandwich, or sometimes they have a Western omelet croissant sandwich or breakfast burger. It's pretty good too.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, egg on top of that breakfast burger?
Right. Bacon, egg, burger on a burger bun instead of a croissant sandwich. So if I do that, like the breakfast sandwiches, I'll just open up and eat. They taste that good. They're moist and ready to go. They're done right. And the breakfast burger, though, I have to grab a couple of ketchup packets because you got a lot more bun there. It's, you know, that croissant sandwich, that croissant bun is a little more buttery. It's kind of got its own, you know, flavor profile and moistness to it. But the burger bun, it's not dry, but I need a little ketchup on that burger. So, but anyway, that's not, so I grab my stuff Tuesday and go back to the car, get in the car, drive through the parking lot and out onto the road. And as I accelerate out on the road, I'm like hearing, and I'm like, what the fuck? And the car's not pulling. So like, there's no flat tire or something. And I'm just hearing this and I'm like, it's on the passenger side. And I'm like, well, I got to go to work there. I'm like, I don't take the freeway. Right. So like the fastest I'd be going would be like 45. So I just kept it under 40 because I didn't know. So I get to work and I'm expecting everything and I'm like looking at the tire and everything. And I don't see anything all around it, whatever. So whatever, I call the set up an appointment to bring it in. I get there and the guy comes out. I pulled right into the service center and I explained to him and he's like, that side? I'm like, yeah, passenger side. And he walks over there. He looks down. He looks up at me and he goes, oh, I know it's wrong. I'm like, what?
The window open.
No, no. He goes, what? He goes, there's a bolt in your tire.
Motherfucker.
So I picked up a bolt in the in the parking lot. There it is. It's pretty big.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
done. And it's not in the tread, so you know, you're gonna have to get that whole thing pulled up, replaced, sure.
No, they were able to plug it.
Okay.
And it didn't cost me anything.
Figured in that spot.
It didn't cost me anything because I have coverage for that, and even if it would have been a scrap, I would have got the tire for free too. I've like almost set myself for no, like if something happens outside of my coverage, I can probably claim it on my insurance if I wanted to. So that's when you go to that road of, is it worth it or not? But anyway, so that was nice. That was great. So now Wednesday, here I am at Quick Trip again, picking up a coffee. And I
avoided that parking lot for a couple days.
Well, I pull in too, and I'm like looking down in front of me, like what the fuck? Like I'm gonna see something, right? And I come walking out, and I held the door walking out for some younger lady, like of age, but not old enough for me to be interested in, right? And as I'm walking towards we walk out together, and she's kind of going straight. And I'm kind of going off to the right. And as I go off to the right a couple steps, there's this guy. And I hear him go, hey, you single? And I look up and he's looking at the girl that I just opened the door for. And she goes, what? And he's like, you got a boyfriend? And then he starts walking over towards her. And we kind of pass each other. And I look at him and I'm like, go get him, son. He's like, yep. So I go back to my car. And this dude's like risen her up outside the fucking gas station. He gets her number and everything, and
get out of here.
So I'm sitting there eating my sandwich watching this, right? I'm like, oh, I got to see if he gets the number, right? I want to see him get turned down or whatever. I think it's going to be hilarious. He gets it. He starts walking away, and I finish my sandwich. I put it in a drive, and I kind of drive right past him. I put my fist out the window. I go, there you go, and he fist bumped me. First, he looked to make sure the girl wasn't looking, and then he gave me the fist bump.
Come on.
So, yeah, I had a fun interesting couple days visiting the gas station before work.
I feel like you should have got his number because, you know, you want to know that story, how that continues, because that's a hell of an origin story.
I don't
say they met each other at a gas station parking lot. Dad, can you tell me the story how you met your mom?
Well,
sure, son.
She's looking like a fine asshole outside Quick Trip. All right, folks, DWI 438 right here with PC Tunney and DPP. When we come back, we are going to get into some wrestling. You're already listening to Chairshot Radio Network. You know you can find out on all of your favorite streaming platforms, sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. We got it. Speaking of sports, brand new podcast debuted last Sunday right here on Chairshot Radio Network. Carl from Outsider's Edge is back with none other than Ray Cash for the Front and Center Sports Podcast. I gave it a listen. really good show. Make sure you check that out. Usually going to be Sunday mornings, I believe, on Chairshot Radio Network. If anything changes, just continue to follow me at PC Tunney or at Chairshot Media. You'll see all the drops from the website as well. So, and another announcement on the Chairshot Radio Network side. A new show will be debuting within the next week or so, week or 2 weeks at the latest. Dave Wirtz, a.k.a. Aesop Mitchell. Him and Tom have not been doing Down the Wire, so I reached out to Aesop and was like, hey, what's going on? And we have come up and developed a new podcast that we are going to be doing together. It's called The Oddity with Dave Wirtz, your weekly newsletter on the ridiculous and dumb of actual headlines from around the world. Your host, Dave Wirtz, your producer, PC Tunney. We will be trying to hit you up, I think, every week once this gets going. So make sure you tune into that. That should definitely be entertaining. Listen to this, and we'll come back after that.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, folks. DWI Podcast 438 right here, Chairshot Radio Network. Don't forget about ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Check it out. Makes a great gift as well. Pick one up for yourself. Get it in soft style. We do have a big holiday weekend coming up, so I imagine there's going to be a promo code associated with the 4th of July. That might even be the promo code. So head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
Without AJ here, it's just a solo me
Solo me sheet. It's the portable sheet, as it's on a trip to the fridge with me to grab another beer.
But oh, this week, Sheet on the move.
Watch out for moving sheet. This week on DWI, we're going to run over some things on SmackDown and Raw. Let's see, what do we got here? Punk, Heyman, Bloodline, Drew, Cody, the Samoan Werewolf, Priest, Rollins, Gunther, Dom, Liv, Awesome Truth, Finn, and JD, Chad Gable, Uncle Howdy, Money in the Bank qualifiers, DP. We have Booker T news, and a last call that is not a last call at all. It, in fact, is a winner is you. DPP, ring the bell. Yeah, one job today. One job.
One job. I got so excited. You said, "Talk about winner." It was a winner. I was a winner.
No, the yeah. Okay,
I'm flustered.
Sure. You are. You are a winner.
Hey, winner. You.
Tie good. You like shirt? Or shirt good? You like tie? Damn it. Anyway, let's get into a DP SmackDown from Chicago. We get some interaction between CM Punk and Paul Heyman. How'd you like that?
You know, it's fun.
Take me with you.
A little, yeah. You know, Heyman's starting to come out of, you know, the uncomfortableness of what's going on with the Bloodline. So that was a cool segment. Obviously, they have the history between the two and, you know, kind of just, yeah, laying that groundwork for what's going to happen here with him and the Bloodline. And is Punk going to get, you know, would Punk ever get involved in a storyline with the Bloodline? A little bit of a tease there, too.
Sure, down the road.
You know?
I mean, they definitely laid the lines for a Roman. Get in. Oh! US almost scored again. They definitely laid some groundwork for a potential Punk-Reigns feud where Heyman's kind of stuck in the middle, and it's caused because of his comments there that anybody that knows that they're stepping into the ring with CM Punk when he's cleared is stepping into the ring with the best in the world. Roman probably would take some umbrage to that, I would imagine.
Well, you know, the tribal chief, obviously, you know, his yard is, you know, it's his land that he rules here in SmackDown. So you know, Punk being on Raw, you know, initially could keep him away for a little while until they get back to that storyline, which would kind of be cool, you know, to meet up down the road. But I'm sure Punk versus Reigns match is in the works somewhere, because that's, yeah, you can't turn that down while Punk's, you know, back and Roman, well, in Roman's around, as long as he's going to stay around.
So Paul tells Punk that the Bloodline wants to make every town their town, even though this is Punk's town, and if Punk should leave. You know, Heyman's like, the best interest for you to just leave, and Punk won't do it, but here comes the Bloodline, right? And then here comes Cody Rhodes with the bats. How do you like that?
You know, great. Continuing that, you know, what we saw at Clash the Castle. You know, they're going to continue that kind of six-man tag thing. But interesting that Punk's there with him, because it did seem like, unless they're going to go, you know, well, we'll get there. You know, it looked like it was going to be a six-man tag match when we had KO and Randy Orton out there. So with this, it was just, yeah, Cody Rhodes coming out, hanging out with Punk, with the bats, obviously trying to hold off the Bloodline. Yeah, I'm a very upset PC Tunney. Well,
Panama 2, USA 1. It's a goal for Panama in the 83rd minute. The importance of being...
It's not going to be good for business.
The importance of having disciplined players on a national stage is of the utmost importance, considering you get a red card for something that you just... It's completely avoidable. Pushing and shoving a guy in the head while you're standing next to each other out in the middle of the field is going to get you a red fucking card. And it's the reason USA is going to lose this game, likely. And that's disgraceful. That young gentleman should be taken off the roster as soon as possible. Back to professional wrestling. Sorry about that. Real life action happened.
Fucking sports.
Feelings. Sports.
A sports fan or what?
I am. It's a true story. So, go ahead.
Not a sports fan, huh?
Drew takes out Punk.
Yeah, so later...
Let's hit that before we hit the last part of the night.
And, yeah, interesting segment with, you know, showing backstage, and then all of a sudden, here goes the, you know, old garage door starts going up, and there's CM Punk laying there, bloodied, knocked out, with supposedly he quit, Drew McIntyre. What the hell are you doing here? Standing over him. And a cool shot as he, you know, as they've been trying to do little, like, longer one-shot takes, you know, picks him up, his lifeless body over his shoulders, and carries him out to the main, you know, stage area. And just when I was watching, I'm like, I hope he just drops him like a lifeless body, because that would make it more interesting. Because I figured, like, he's going to protect him a little bit. Nope, he did it. Just dropped him hard.
And it looked like Punk could have fucked up his wrist where he tried to stop himself there. But,
yeah,
you know, he, like, probably knew it was coming.
I think so, too. And then did it. That made it just look even that more real, which was really good. And then, you know, Drew takes a little bracelet off of CM Punk.
Yes, Larry. So, Larry is
really
over.
Interesting. Larry's the man.
Larry is over, folks.
Oh, we got a new Larald here.
So that is that would be Drew showing up on Raw, which is, I think, is really cool, because they're showing you that this is the blood feud for SummerSlam, and that's what we've been talking about here on this show. I know I have. Like, SummerSlam always has that one blood feud match between two people that are absolute superstars / future Hall of Famers that don't have championship belts. You have to have one of those matches at every SummerSlam, and this is going to be a great one. I cannot fucking wait. We knew this wasn't going to happen at Money in the Bank. You knew they'd find ways to keep them away from each other. Now Punk's recovered. He'll be out. He'll come back and get Drew. Drew can come. You know, this is just great storytelling here.
Yeah, this is perfect. This is exactly what you were talking about. The non-title big match, they didn't need it. And, you know, whichever way they end up making it happen at SummerSlam, you could put this in and make it a you know, some kind of cage match, or they probably ain't going to an I Quit match or anything because they just did it. Or since it seems like they're bringing a little bit of blood back, it could be a first blood match or something. We haven't had one of those in decades, I think. And you can, this is like that, the biggest intensified feud with, that has real, like, feels real, has a deep, you know, background to it. That's personal.
We talked about this on the last edition of the Big Five, which is the Big Four Project, is now the Big Five Project, because there was the first Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And now this last one that actually debuted, that came out yesterday. There is big shit going down on this game. We just got a Panama red card. Unfortunately, we're in the 88th minute, and shit is hit the fan. Players are just, okay, we're kind of calmed down now. So we'll see. Back to 10 men apiece, I believe, if that is a red card I saw. It looks like they would probably have, once they get play going here, less than 2 minutes on regulation. But I'm going to say there's going to be at least 8 minutes added on. Even more now, there's more arguing. We got to get back to the podcast, but I'm sorry. This is just happening in front of me. Here's the play. Oh, yeah. Horrible. On Pulisic, by the way, too. Yeah, he kicks him right in the knee. What a douche canoe. Ooh. Okay. So, where were you? I'm sorry, guys.
Finished off the blood feud and where we were going with SummerSlam.
Oh, I was talking about the Big Five Project. The Big Five Project. Mm.
Yes. You were.
So, on there, Dave speculated, like, we were feeling there's going to be a trilogy of some sort here. Dave was speculating, start off with just a regular singles match. These guys haven't wrestled. You know, they're finally in the ring together. That should be big enough. And then he thought, like, some stipulations and then maybe lead to a Hell in a Cell. Like, some fans had brought up to Punk, and Punk's like, listen, you watch the show, we'll do the booking or something like that. I thought, let's kick it off with a street fight, then have a regular match, and then go into some other, you know, feud-ending match. But we'll see. We'll see. What do you expect kind of match would you put on at SummerSlam between these two? Just a regular match?
I think there should be some stipulation. That obviously they're making it seem a little more personal, bringing the families into it.
Could be a number one contenders match.
I would kind of be interested to see if they would do, like, they haven't done like an unsanctioned type of match before, you know, in a while.
Well, that
like
would
do something like a street fight.
That's
like where they're not in the ring. They're outside somewhere just battling it out.
So you agree with
using
me.
Using everything possible.
That's what I said. Street fight, then that's, regular match, then your blow off stipulation, huge match. Like the street fight
I think
seems
that would
real
be
with the unsanctioning like you're talking about.
Yeah, kind of like a, you know, Piper Gold Dust type of thing or whatever, where they're just beating the hell out of each other in a parking lot, you know, something like that, where they're not necessarily even get to the ring. Like they could, I think that's a good way to get that feud just over the top right off the bat. And then, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't have a, you know, three matches out of this getting to wherever, Survivor Series or closer to the Rumble.
So all shit is hit the fan, breaking loose at the end of SmackDown here. Like you said, DP, we got everybody out there that's kind of going nuts. And all of the sudden, we get someone we were waiting for, we knew was there. Who is the dude? It's the Samoan Werewolf, Jacob Fatu, and man, did he look good, DP.
I'm really surprised that they're two of them debuted on SmackDown, you know, rather than like a pay-per-view or something, which is kind of crazy. But
well, you get higher ratings on, you're gonna, people already bought their Peacock subscriptions. If they don't know it's coming, they won't buy it. They're gonna get the number on SmackDown, you know.
Well, you know it. And what also it's doing is making even more interest when it goes to Netflix. You know, I mean, Raw's first, but you know, it's going to add buys to the Netflix from watching that to now see like who's going to be debuting and stuff like that on those shows. So,
It was made official that there will be no censorship on Netflix either.
Right. You're going to hear all the shit.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So Jacob Fatu is there. He looks good. We're just kind of building this new bloodline. I love it. You got Tama. You got Loa. You got Fatu or Jacob Fatu.
It looks pretty solid.
Yeah, it's awesome. I can't wait till we get back going with the other side of it too. Roman's got to cost Solo against Cody, right? At SummerSlam.
Absolutely. Like it has to be. Like they have to start this getting somewhere because it's really awesome. Because yeah, it's just this. It's the bloodline to this like extreme, like out of control craziness is where they've gotten with these guys. And you would think, you know, Roman's going to come back to try and, you know, right the ship and calm everything down, get back to what the bloodline used to be, you know, kind of thing. I would imagine he's going to cost him the match, cost him the title. And then, you know, they're going to start to get to that story of, well, Roman's really not in charge of this bloodline anymore kind of thing. Because these guys are, he's like, I can't control these guys. It's insane. And they're really doing a great job with it. And Heyman, obviously, just adding that extra to the side of him watching it and just utter shock every time is just beautiful cinema.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch. It's just been a continuation of such a great and long storyline. And R.I.P. Sika, a Roman's father, passed away this past week. So just wanted to pay our respects to a legend and one of the forefathers of the bloodline, the Samoan dynasty, one of the wild Samoans. So our condolences and our thoughts and prayers are with the family. We're going to take a commercial break here. When we come back, we're going to get into the Raw side of things, check out all the Money in the Bank qualifiers, and get to a brief Booker T snippet of news. That's right. We're only going to do it once, though, not five times. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, DWI 438, PC Tony and DPP with you right here on Chairshot Radio Network, all of your favorite streaming platforms, and thechairshot.com. Some of the best coverage in the business, folks, whether it is TNA, New Japan, AEW, NXT, Raw, or SmackDown, Stephen Mitchell and Andrew Belaz have you covered. And it's just great in-depth analysis. Not only do you have quick results right away for you, you got in-depth coverage on the actual matches and backstage goings-ons throughout the show, in addition to a nice little wrap-up and scoring from both gentlemen. So if you're looking for great coverage, on a great website, check out thechairshot.com and prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Makes a great gift as well. Get it in soft style. I just want to say that this is my 1,000th post to thechairshot.com, and I'm pretty proud of that, and I made sure it was a DWI podcast. But yeah, it's pretty sweet that we've been able to be around as long as we have been since 2017. And we're just going to keep on moving here. Like we said, we've got a couple new shows on the network and great coverage and articles galore on the website side. So make sure you're sticking around for all of that fun stuff here throughout the summer as we head towards SummerSlam. Raw this past Monday. Let's talk about the interaction in the ring between Damian Priest, Seth Rollins, and the stipulation that we come upon, DP. Let's get to that first before the finish of that segment. What are your thoughts on the way Seth kind of talked Damian into possibly no longer being a part of the Judgment Day? Which makes me think that Damian Priest is definitely winning this match.
Well, it's funny too, yeah, because it's interesting with the stipulation that Priest comes back with, says Rollins says, you know, he'll no longer be able to challenge for the world title so long as Priest has it. Which would, yeah, lead you to believe that Priest's probably going to win this match because doesn't seem like it's time for him to leave the Judgment Day. But he's probably not going to hold on to the title for too long because Seth Rollins is obviously going to challenge for the world title sooner than later once again, but just not against Priest. So we got Gunther waiting on the sidelines as well for SummerSlam.
The stipulation just makes you think like, okay, Priest is going to win Money in the Bank and Gunther's going to win at SummerSlam.
It unfortunately makes it feel that way, which isn't the greatest thing because they've done a really good job of keeping wins and losses really in question recently, where you're really not sure, quite, you know, for most of them. So yeah, it really does lean towards that, and you know, we could be surprised, but I just don't see any other reason why you would take that title off of him at this point and start that whole Judgment Day breakup thing.
Especially
there's no need for it yet.
Yeah, especially without the title and especially without something else that happened that we're going to talk about here when we get to it. But
mommy there.
How did you like Gunther coming in the ring at the end of this and kind of not really heel, not really face, saying, you know, Seth, I appreciate the work you put in to legitimize and make this a great title. Damian, you've carried Raw on your back. You're the man here with the title right now. May the better man win at Money in the Bank. But just know whoever wins and faces me at SummerSlam will definitely not be the better man. I thought that was fucking a great, great promo in the ring with the champ and one of the greatest characters and promos of all time in Seth Rollins.
Funny.
Because that's who Seth Rollins is, by the way, folks. One of the greatest characters, promos, and professional wrestlers of all time.
Well, and Gunther comes in with that, you know, seriousness.
Yeah.
To say, you know, and it makes it feel, he adds so much extra to it because, and again, it stems back to having the greatest Intercontinental title reign in history. Solidifying his dominance and how great he is, how big he is of a character and how dominant he is, and that like it feels like he didn't lose a step and he's ready to take the next one and he's just going like, yeah, it's mine. Like I don't give a shit. I'm gonna sit back at the whatever at the announce table with my popcorn and watch an awesome match, but knowing the fact that whoever comes out of it, I'm beating him and I'm winning it. That's it. Like, just putting a stamp of Gunther's the champion. And that's the way SummerSlam's going to end. And that's pretty cool. He does a really good job with that. And he can back it up.
I'm going to let you have the last word there on that topic as we move on to a, well, let me hawk to a, huh?
Wow.
Liv brings out the hawk to a. On your social media, I do believe. I'm telling you, before, especially in our Chair Shot radio thread, I was the first one to post that meme, and it was those two girls. One, the Hawk Tua girl with her face painted like Hawk. The other girl with her face painted like Animal. And it was the Legion of Poon, Hawk Tua, and Vaginamal. I still think that's the best one yet.
I haven't really looked at social media enough to see if there has been a better one. I haven't seen one.
Well, there's the LA Knight version where they put the Hawk Tua girl's face on LA Knight and it says, "Let me Hawk Tua."
Oh yeah, I did see that one. Yeah, it's not bad.
There was a couple other ones too. Yeah, but anyway, Dom and Liv. This is just so perfect because Dom is like the most protected fucking wrestler of all time. Like, oh shit, Rhea's got to go away? All right, let's do something with him and Liv.
Fuck. How does that work? How do you get that job?
be a third generation wrestler?
Well, I got a bit of a problem with that. I haven't had a first generation.
Fucking dad dropped the ball, didn't he?
Damn it.
Or your grandpa, I should say. Sorry.
A little bit.
I mean, like, we got the part where she's, like, sending him gifts, and she's, like, daddy's girl, and, like, calling him Daddy Dom. Oh, and
Daddy Dom.
It's just great. It's just setting everything up for when Rhea comes back, who, by the way, got married to Buddy Murphy this past week in her time off. I just love it because it's good for the Judgment Day. And it's really good for the Judgment Day, and it's not so good for the Awesome Truth, because Liv gets involved in the main event, dupes our truth, which doesn't seem difficult to do at times, and no longer your Raw Tag Team Champions, the Awesome Truth, but Finn Balor and JD McDonagh take the titles, and I'm watching this Monday night, and I'm like, before even the shenanigans started, I'm like, this is happening. This is totally happening tonight. How do you feel about the title change, DP?
I mean, I'm fine with the title change.
This should be a match at Money in the Bank, Roy match, right? At Money in the Bank, that's easy booking.
That'd be a good rematch. That's an easy rematch. Yeah. That's an easy match to get on the card.
I mean, Miz and Truth, like, they draw eyeballs.
They do, and you know, they title wise, they haven't really been doing much with them, and for storyline purposes, this is perfect because it, you know, it adds to Liv Morgan's story and what she's doing to them on a whole, and what the end goal ends up being, and, you know, helping Finn Balor get on her good side, which is what's going to be the interesting portion of that. Cause you see, you know, when Liv came out at the end and Finn just like, oh, all right, okay. And starting to give in to, you know, what Liv's been doing, as opposed to, you know, always trying to reject her and keep her away from Dom and everybody else. It's adding to that lore. You know, he took that room key a couple weeks ago.
Well,
she helps him win the tag titles.
Yeah.
You know, where are we going with this? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's all at some point going to come back when Rhea returns. And maybe that's when a lot of this Judgment Day breakup or whatever happens, happens.
Maybe she's ready to come back sooner than we think, and that's why they're starting the Priest exit.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know.
I mean, I doubt it, though.
I doubt it.
I doubt it's that fast, but they
but
would.
Why even have that stipulation then? They didn't even need a stipulation for this match. Like, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't it make no sense, really? Like, how did we get there? Like, did Damian... I don't recall Damian out and saying, if I beat you, you don't get another shot.
No, I think it was just Rollins saying it. Didn't he say that he doesn't...
So what does he
he's
care?
He's not going to...
What does he care?
Request another match?
What does he care if Damian Priest is in the Judgment Day or not?
Yeah, at this point, he has no reason to not have that happen. I think unless, you know, he sees the Judgment Day as just holding Priest back to what he could be.
But yeah, it just a lot of it doesn't make sense to me.
That's about
it. Yeah, a lot of it doesn't make sense to me, but that's okay. I mean, if that's the worst thing, then no big deal. See, that's the thing, folks. I'm not going to sit here and not call out things I don't like either. You know, we don't talk about anything but main roster. You know, if NXT plays into main roster, we'll talk about it or something big. But, like, for those of you who don't watch WWE and you watch something else, and I think you know what I'm trying to say, like, we hold ourselves accountable here as well.
There's a lot of stupid shit that happens. We're talking about the mistakes. Let's talk about that.
I'm trying to be diplomatic, and DP's like, here, eat this taco.
Oh, fucking suck. Hold my beer. You just opened one.
I did.
It happens.
So we got that going on. New tag team champions, which is pretty sweet. Money in the Bank qualifiers on the women's side from SmackDown, Chelsea Green, and on the Raw side, Lyra Valkyria, DP. I like both of these women in the Money in the Bank. I really would love Chelsea Green holding that Money in the Bank. I think for a stipulation as the Money in the Bank and something that comes with carrying that briefcase, likely for more than a month or so, Chelsea Green's someone that can take that storyline and run with it for a while. Like, she has so much depth she's added to her character, and people are really buying in and believing that that's her.
I think so too. I think it'd be absolutely fantastic. You know, I think back to like when Carmella kind of had it too. Like, I get those vibes. You know, if she had it and had, you know, Piper Nevin with her as well, you know, running around with that briefcase, could make some great television. And Chelsea Green is fantastic and would absolutely deserve it, because she, yeah, like you said, you always say it, you know, she plays that character just beautifully. And I think, you know, being able to show off a little more of her actual skills in the ring too, like having that briefcase and at some point winning the title would be phenomenal.
Yeah. How about Valkyria? Do you see her at all being able to win this? I mean, she is more of a like a TV title kind of people's champion defending every week, and seems to me kind of that character over. We haven't really explored her character outside of the ring, but maybe this could be a way to do that. But I just don't see it happening. Do you?
Probably not yet. Like, they're really almost trying to really shove her down your throat a little bit. She's got the talent and everything. She just hasn't seemed to connect yet with the crowd and with everything. I don't think it's her time to do it. I think, like you said, though, like, we need to get a little more background of her and, you know, build that story, give us the reason to cheer for her and get behind her for that, because she is really good and can be that person, but we need to get there, and I don't want to rush that. So I'd rather not have her win it right now, and she could be still the plucky underdog for a while. And, you know, I think she'll have a, you know, be one of those that'll be really close to winning it, but not going to happen, I don't think.
Before we get to the men's side of the Money in the Bank qualifiers, I just want to let you know that the preferred choice for wireless headphones here on the DWI podcast is from HyperX. DPP and PC Tony both wear HyperX Cloud Stinger Core Wireless Plus 7.1. Get it today where people sell HyperX. You didn't think that was coming, did you?
Still got your box for your headphones. At least they're not JBL.
You'd think that was who sponsored. Right underneath that box is for my controller that I had to. I go through controllers, man. I don't know what it is, but I do. I'm on my third PS5.
Jamming those buttons too hard.
I'm on my third PS5 controller.
Good lord.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is that. It's the joysticks that they
the wears out the.
What is it called? Drift. They drift on their own. The right joystick drifts.
Really?
My right joystick always drifts. It is usually to the left. So like, I'm moving, and then I just go to the, and I'm like, oh, that doesn't help for anything. It fucking sucks when I'm trying to swing on Tiger Woods, and it sucks when I'm trying to maneuver on fucking Fortnite. Yeah, so I should have saved that for a winner as you, but there's a little foreshadowing, so I can't help myself. I can't be held responsible. Whose show is this?
I hate it when my joystick trips to the left.
She doesn't mind, though. men's side, Money in the Bank qualifiers. Carmelo Hayes and Andrade on the SmackDown side. I don't have much to hit there. Do you?
No.
Neither of those are solid choices.
Yeah,
they'll be great in the match. Good for them. Great exposure. Good thing to have, you know, a notch if you're trying to keep climbing the mountain. But neither of these guys win the Money in the Bank.
No.
From potentially dead to in the Money in the Bank match now after winning his qualifier, Chad Gable, who did not want to be asked questions or taken pictures of when he arrived, got shot down after what feels like a come to Jesus moment and apology to his old crew, and he is gone from there. I honestly, DP, feel like Money in the Bank men's ladder match ends with the lights go dark. You see the silhouettes of the Wyatt Six. The lights come back on, and laying with blood, sitting in the corner, back leaned up against the bottom turnbuckle, head against the second turnbuckle, arms holding Money in the Bank break, Money in the Bank briefcase. Never, the first time ever, we do not see the person pull the Money in the Bank briefcase. What do you think of that idea?
Be very interesting.
Right? Like, Chad Gable's, like, out of the match on the outside, and there's, like, the other people are in there on the ladder vying, and then the lights go out. All those people are now outside of the ring down with a member of each of the Wyatt Six by them, with Uncle Howdy over Chad Gable in one corner with that spotlight coming on from the darkness, and they go to each one first. Here's the outside. Here's Rowan got somebody. Loomis got somebody. Gacy got somebody. Even Abigail got somebody. And then we go inside the ring, and Howdy smiling and nodding his head, and Gable holding the briefcase. Unconscious.
I mean, I can't argue with that. I really like that. It's a good way to continue that storyline. It's just oddball shit that they're doing there. I'm imagining... Is Drew getting into this match as well? Like,
so
are we going
to
have a lot of chaos with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre too?
Adam Pearce, like, Drew McIntyre lobbied Adam Pearce that he should automatically be in the Money in the Bank because of all the shit that's happened. And Adam Pearce is like, no, you got to earn your way in. So I'd imagine his match is coming up probably
next week on Raw.
Yeah. SmackDown? Is he on SmackDown?
They're Raw personalities. They're Raw guys.
Okay.
They were just on SmackDown because it was in Chicago. Right?
But I think Punk's on Raw.
Oh, that was the Raw. His argument. I think Drew McIntyre's argument was in Raw.
I think Punk's on Raw and McIntyre's on SmackDown.
Oh, they're both on Raw. Punk was just on SmackDown because it was in Chicago. They're both Raw. Both Raw guys. So... Yeah, you gonna look it up? Yeah, you gonna look it up? How else would they have feuded? Come on.
Keep riffing.
You know,
I'm pretty sure I read
clearly
something.
The correct answer. You argue about it, but you know, it's what's gonna happen.
Mitchell's thoughts on Raw. An awesome episode of Raw here tonight. Great surprise, in quotation marks, of McIntyre showing up to really add some heat to this already red-hot feud with Punk. Are you sure McIntyre's not a SmackDown guy? Like, this rivalry started before
the
draft. This rivalry started before the draft. I think McIntyre got drafted to SmackDown.
Did he change on the draft? Drew McIntyre's a Raw. Okay. Drew McIntyre's on Raw.
Okay, maybe he meant because he quit. Who knows?
It's probably because he quit.
All right, I don't know. I'm just, yeah. All right, fine. Whatever. Fine, yeah. I'm wrong again. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Patrick would play his soundbite right now. how did you like the Uncle Howdy interviewing Bo Dallas in the Firefly? That was the Firefly Funhouse, by the way, folks. That was the darkness behind them.
It was, that was deep. You know, just trying to add in. I don't know if any of that was a response to some people's saying that, what the hell are they doing? This is not, they're doing a disservice to Bray Wyatt bringing this whole thing back. But
I think Bray
Wyatt saw a few things about that. But,
no problem with this and would be unbelievably proud of his brother and everybody else involved.
Right? Like, yeah. And this, it was a pretty dark discussion, you know, getting real life feelings of, you know, Bo talking about everything that happened and getting deeper into the character and what's going on and how just the takeover they want to do, the legacy they wanted to leave, and his always looking up to his big brother and wanting to do Prim proud.
this makes me feel even more so like Bray is the sixth member of the Wyatt Six as a spiritual empowering entity. And here's why. Because they already said that he has a Legends contract for his family. And no one knows, DP. He has a Legends contract for his family, right? On anything they do merchandise-wise, etc. He's got to be 1/6 profitable for the family, part of the merchandise for the Wyatt Six then, right? Like, that's the brilliance of this industry and what they could be doing here. Outside of the TV show and the storyline and everything else, is you're providing his widow and kid. I think they have one kid, or do they have two?
Kids?
Two? Is it two? Okay. A source of stability and income for the next however long. Like, they're going to be good.
Yeah. And it extends that even further, right? Now that they're having this whole thing and the new merchandise, the new stuff that's come out. You're going to keep helping that family.
And they reveal
that. That makes a lot more sense.
When they finally reveal he's the sixth one, you can have him over all of them with, like, a puppeteer strings. And, like, you know, that's pretty cool.
That and, him holding the,
from the clouds.
The firefly lamp, the lamp, and whatever, providing the light. He's the one providing the light, something like that. It does make it seem like it's more towards that now with all that going on. If, you know, that they wouldn't add another person. Maybe they do, but that makes it make a little more sense.
Last quick topic here before we head to the last thing we're going to do, which is a end of the month kind of thing. I think we're trying to do here. We might have missed a month, but that's fine if we do it every other month at the end of the month. Booker T and Brad Gilmore have a podcast called The Hall of Fame Show, and it is getting picked up by ESPN Radio, folks. And I do not believe ESPN Radio has ever had a professional wrestling show on their radio conglomerate. They've had a lot of different sports shows and things of that nature, but this to me just tells you how exactly popular professional wrestling is right now. And you know, the merger of UFC and WWE under TKO umbrella, and the fact that UFC is highly involved with ESPN and ESPN Plus, like, just another big bonus for WWE professional wrestling fans as well. Like, this is going to be the biggest professional wrestling radio slash podcast-ish in the country now. You know, I think about Busted Open and things of that nature, but this has got the ESPN machine behind it.
Yeah, and I mean, what more do you need as far as the pinnacle of sports entertainment, you know, to have ESPN in your pocket and be able to promote the shit out of that on top of everything else, you know, that WWE, TKO all has under their umbrella? Like, that's amazing. And, you know, having Booker T be the guy Booker T is awesome. Not only that, you know, part of commentary on a weekly WWE show.
Yeah, NXT.
You know, to add to that. So, yeah, it's beautiful. It's different than just having somebody who's retired or anything in one of their podcasts. It's, you know, you can get all that information and be able to promote the shit out of it. It's just another outlet.
Last big thing I'm going to talk about before we hit a commercial break, come back with a Winner Is You segment. It's been announced officially, Royal Rumble 2025, Indianapolis. They also will be receiving a WrestleMania and SummerSlam in the future. DP, Indianapolis, 3.5-hour drive.
Well, you want to go to Lucas Oil Stadium for what, Rumble?
I mean, we could just drive there and go and drive back. We didn't even have to stay.
It's true. It's not a bad drive. I'm a big fan of Indy. It was a good drive when I went with Brother Joe and the nephew.
It's easy. You just got to get through Chicago. Once you get through Chicago, it's down. It's just there's all nothing. Yeah, there literally is nothing when you drive across. Indiana, yeah, but
that's a,
it's like, hey,
there's a pretty smooth drive.
There's Fort Wayne. There's Purdue. Nothing again.
Look, corn. Sweet. Sweet, sweet corn.
All right,
that's the other way with Nebraska, but, yeah, you know.
Stay tuned to DP and PC's Indianapolis WWE plans. We're still hoping to get something here in Milwaukee at AmFam Field, so we'll see what happens. When we come back after this commercial break, you're going to get a brand new Winner Is You segment. But before we do that, make sure you head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, and do not forget about Chairshot Radio Network. We got the best podcast, sports entertainment and sports entertainment, all your favorite streaming networks, brand new podcasts coming out. Just had one debut this past week. We're going to have another one debut in the next week or so. So make sure you stick with us. We got content for you every single morning.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, welcome back, folks. DWI 438 right here. We got a special treat for you today.
Right, as PC Tunney said, it's time for a Winner Is You. It's the end of the month, and we got to talk some video games. I think we missed a month. You know, not a lot usually going on in the summer, but there's always something to play, whether it's good or bad. And there's a couple things coming out that I think we just need to talk a little bit about. First off, coming out as we record is Luigi's Mansion for the Nintendo Switch. Don't know if you're a big fan of the Luigi's Mansion series, PC.
I am a fan of everything Mario, and we discussed this. I think I'm going to have to buy a Switch this weekend.
That's right.
Maybe I'll just get that, too, and I'll tell you next week how it went.
Why not? You know, solid game. I love the Luigi's Mansion series. This is actually a remake of the second one, which was for the 3DS, for the Nintendo, for the handheld. So this is like an HD, you know, upgraded version of that game, which was, I never played that one, but I know because I'd never had the handheld Nintendo 3DSs, but I played Luigi's Mansion 3 for the Switch when that came out. I'm looking forward to this one because they're a little different than the regular Mario games. You know, you get Luigi as the main guy. It's a little more 3D, you know, catching ghosts. And these games are always really solid.
I can't wait. I'm going to be getting into a whole new, you know, I don't spend that much on games on PlayStation. I stick to a few different things. I will be getting Madden. Thought about getting the show. I think I've held off now. I thought about getting the WWE new game. I've held off now. So I think the Switch will be a good investment for me to kind of get into some different style of gaming that I don't usually do. And then back into the world of Super Mario, which you know I love. You know I'm a good Mario player. I mean, I'm ready to get back into it. Now, the new stuff like this, is there a role-playing RPG element to it, or is it just kind of a more of a like in-depth, more 3D scrolling kind of Mario game?
It's still more of a just 3D Mario game.
Okay.
It's these Luigi's ones aren't necessarily role-playing.
Because there are out there. There are Mario RPGs out there now, right?
Well, interesting you say that, because just recently they re-released the Super Mario RPG, which was from the Super Nintendo, and that one is just fantastic. If you like RPG games, it's turn-based, and it's got all your Mario characters in it, and that one is absolutely phenomenal. So you're in for a treat if you get the Switch as far as Mario games go, because you've missed a good handful of them that have come out recently that are like really well worth playing. Super Mario Wonder earlier this year came out. The cool one, I think you'd be interested in, is Super Mario 3D World with a combination of Bowser's Fury, which is like totally 3D like type of game, almost like the N64 games.
Okay.
Yeah, and that one's really fun. It's more of an open world type of thing where you go find a level and you go like, oh, I want to play that.
Right.
And you go through, you know, you don't have to necessarily do certain things in order. It's just you need to go beat this one to get your star, and then you collect enough stars to do certain other things, you know, in the game. And what's cool is like Bowser's out there, and every once in a while the world will start going dark and Bowser shows up and starts trying to attack you and things like that. And you can't really get back at him until you're strong enough and have the big showdown. So like, I think you'd be really interested in that one. It's pretty fun.
Well, cheers to that.
Hey, there you go. So the other one I wanted to talk about, and you may have already answered my question, College Football 25 coming out next month, July 15th, 16th. Versus Madden 25 coming out August 16th. I know you love college football, but I know you're a big Madden fan. And I don't know if you're going to be playing both, because we've talked about it. College Football 25 is basically going to be Madden, but college football. You have a preference.
What are you going to do?
I have a very easy answer to that, because
You don't play
no
Madden
interest
anymore.
In college football.
Oh, you're not going to play
no,
either.
No, I have no interest in college football.
Oh, you're going to get Madden?
I will play Madden.
Are you going to get Madden?
I will play Madden.
Did you get Madden? You didn't get Madden last year, did you?
I didn't, because I wanted to play it on my Steam Deck, and it wasn't compatible.
Is it
they
year?
Had issues with the EA Play, so I'm going to see what happens this year. So I may get it this year, because I did enjoy it the previous year. I thought it was great. You know, I didn't play the defense.
You did what I told you to do, right?
Yeah, so I just had it simulate, and I just played offense, and that was fine. But I just like defense so much.
Did you play special teams, though?
I didn't play... No, I didn't play special teams either. I skipped the special teams. I didn't do the kickoffs. I just did offense only.
Okay. I did the special teams, so... Well, did you punt returns?
Nope.
Because there is a way in there where...
I don't think you're supposed to...
There's a way where you can manually go through the other, you can manually skip, and then when you get to a fourth down, you can go to the game and then get the punt.
Yeah.
I want to do the kick returns. I want to do the punt returns. I want to, obviously you're always the one punting the ball, and I want to kick the field goals, right? Like, and I'll even go as so far as like, I am really good at goal line defense. Like if I get them inside the 10-ish, 5, I will jump in, right? But, yeah, I mean, have you edited a playbook yet?
I never did editing the playbook. I just found a playbook I liked.
Yeah, I know.
And stuck with that, because there was only, like, a handful of plays that I would pick from, to be honest with you, because I found a few that worked really well, and I'm like,
but what
I'm
do you
just going to stick
on?
With these.
What do you play on, though?
I think I played on Pro, probably. Okay. It wasn't.
You know,
difficulties.
I'm playing on all Madden.
I'm not
so
that.
I have to like.
Yeah, I'm not good enough for that shit.
Right. I'm playing on all Madden. I am doing the quick clock where it automatically runs down, but I make sure that the time ends up being about, it's usually 11 or 12 minute quarters that give me the right amount of plays for an NFL game. And I think I'm going to have to make my own playbook, because I like to use the whole playbook, because when you play on Madden, all Madden, they'll learn your tendencies in a second. If you're picking a dozen plays for the whole game, by the third quarter, you don't move the ball anymore. And that's kind of real football, though, too. You know what I'm saying? But
it's true.
It's the difference between having fun and not, right? It's why we play some games on easy and why I play this game on all Madden, you know? It's the one game I'm actually really good at.
That's it's the one game I don't want to throw my controller against the wall and have to buy a new one.
I've done that, too.
Because I do that. I used to do that all the time with Matt.
I would really like to play the college football game, and we're going to get to hear all about it from Patrick O'Dowd on Bandwagon Nerds. He is a huge college football guy. But, like, I feel like you'd be spending $70 just to fucking do a franchise mode on a college level, to be the director of sports director for, you know, like the athletic director slash head coach, like, and try and raise your camp, like your, you know, a lot of these guys, they do the 30 year with these teams and they don't really even play the games. They just see how good they can get their, like Patrick has even said, he'll take a 1-star school and trying to make it a national power throughout the course of the thing. And that's really fun. But for $70, I don't know if that's so fun for me. Like, I don't have as much time to play video games as I used to, and Madden takes up a shit fucking ton of time, because I'll tell you what, Saturday morning after I go grocery shopping and get a few things done around the house, I don't play one game. I probably play 4 fucking games in a row. Right? So, because once you get going, you get going. I like to take a 10-minute break in between games, though, because otherwise your mind is going to try and do the same thing you did the last game, as far as, like, executing a plan and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like this is the only kind of topic I can get real nerdy gaming-wise in, is this football thing. So
it's the time of the year.
Yeah, I'm excited.
This is when to talk about it.
I'm excited to see it. I do a couple things in Madden. I have a we're Packers fans. I will do a Packers franchise, and I will play the game the morning of the week the day the Packers play that game. So I will do my Packers season throughout the regular NFL season. And I nice. Will actually, I might do it different this year. I thought about playing, so like week one this year, blah, 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 Monday night will be the last day for week one. I was thought about it doing on Tuesday and making sure the right teams win in the other games so that the standings are exactly the same as the NFL, except for what I can do as the Packers.
And it doesn't, you can't you do that? Like, I
yeah,
don't
you can,
I guess I
you
haven't
can go into the, you like can, you can go into the schedule for the week and you can say like automatic home win, automatic away win, and then sim.
Okay.
Well, every other game's going to sim except for yours. So you have control over your game against the computer, but you are automatically going to get the right winner from the week that happened in the actual NFL. So at the end of the season, you see what I'm saying? The only difference is
I thought there was a way.
The only difference is in records. It might be like a live sync season you could do.
That's what I was wondering. Like, is there a way you can just go sync with the same week of what happened in real life?
Yeah, import the stats and everything. That would be really cool.
Yeah, except for the team
for your game and the team you play against.
That'd be a pretty solid addition if you're listening to EA and you don't have it in there yet. But
yeah.
I know you won't listen, and I know you won't change it because you never fucking do. Same fucking game every year.
Patent pending, by the way. Trademark. I'll sell it to you.
There you go. But I'm not going to be playing it because it's not my game, but I'm super excited that they're bringing back college football, because that just opens the door for more stuff in college basketball potentially. So it's awesome. And I'm sure with the NCAA rules and now players being getting able to be paid, it's paving the way for things like this. And whether you're a fan of it or not, it's good for the business. I'm super excited that they're coming back.
Bleacher Report has a really good article on this, the rankings for the teams in college football's video game have been put out. Our Badgers are not in the top 25 in their rankings. I'll give you the top 10.
Do they have it based on total team? Cause I'm looking at one that has top 10 offenses, top offensive, top defenses. Is that just top overall teams? There's a couple out there like that where they have them split out between offense and defense. I haven't seen the one that has them
overall, which
is pretty cool.
The link that I gave, that I sent you, that is in the Bandwagon Nerds chat, is overall. So here's
that is overall.
Yep.
I miss it. Okay.
Number 10. Well, here. There's a tie at 10. There's 6. So there's 1, 2, 3. There's 7 teams that are rated in 87 overall.
7.
Yeah, so Clemson, Utah, Penn State, Ole Miss, Kansas, Arizona, and NC State are all in 87 in that order of ranking, 10 through 16. Clemson, Utah, Penn State, Ole Miss, Kansas, Arizona, and NC State. Number 9, Missouri. Number 8, Colorado. Number 7, Miami. Number 6, LSU. Number 5, Ohio State. All come in at an 89. Number 4 is Texas at a 91. Bama at a slightly higher 91. Oregon a 94. And Georgia at an overall higher 94 at number 1. So that's your top 10 in the overall rankings here. There you go.
And the one bit of positivity, Wisconsin is ranked 15th at 86.
Maybe this is lead top offenses. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, that lined up with the one I'm looking at, which is offenses. Yeah.
And then here's the defenses. Utah 10, defenses? Penn State 9, Texas 8, Michigan 7, Notre Dame 6, Clemson 5, Bama 4, Oregon 3, Georgia 2, Ohio State 1. So I'd imagine overall Ohio State and Georgia would be 1-2 with Oregon.
I think
2 or 3. Bama's up there. Clemson.
Yeah.
Wisconsin does have the
Georgia,
15th.
Oregon.
Yeah, overall defense. There you
Georgia's, go. Wisconsin's got a good defense there, which is nice, but nowhere on the top 25 offenses, which is not surprising.
No, they never have a quarterback. Until they get one that plays well, they won't be up there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to be the top. You're picking Georgia. You're picking Oregon. Picking Ohio State or Clemson and Bama. Those are your big teams.
So stay
I think
stay tuned to Bandwagon Nerds or a future Winner Is You segment where Tony backtracks and tells you how great college football is.
I think this is one where it depends. If you have a team you like, your favorite team that you're gonna play as. Otherwise it's more like you said, it's more the simulation, the building a dynasty of a team and
building the
taking
program.
Them from nobody and building the program up to a 5-star program and leading the nation and winning the college football.
Some guys like to play some guys like to play it as a coach too, where they'll start at a 1-star program and they'll try and work their way up into a 5-star program as opposed to build their coaching career. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's another one on this one. If you're looking at EA.com's rankings, top 10 toughest places to play. Number 7, Camp Randall Stadium.
Give us the top 10.
Wisconsin's own. Number 10, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium in Florida. Number 9, Doak S. Campbell, Florida State.
Yep,
Florida. Number 8, Oklahoma's Gaylord Family Oklahoma Memorial Stadium. Number 7, Wisconsin Camp Randall. Number 6, Penn State.
All right,
Beaver Stadium.
Let me try and get the top 5.
Top 5.
LSU is in the top 5.
LSU, number 3, Tiger Stadium.
Michigan's in the top 5.
Michigan, number 16.
Ooh, Bama, top 5?
Alabama, number 2, Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Ohio State, top 5?
Ohio State, number 4, Ohio Stadium. Clever name.
Am I missing 1 and 5?
Missing 1 and 5.
Shoo, baby. Notre
Dame?
Number
5 you should get. Notre Dame, numbers 21.
Oof. All right. Georgia.
Georgia, number 5. Sanford Stadium.
Number
one's a tough one.
1, can I get a conference?
Oh, you're asking me? Oh, boy.
You don't know what conference they're in?
Now I got to look it up.
Wow. You don't know what conference. Oh, wow.
I am not. I am not. SEC.
Oh, Texas
A&M. I am not. Texas A&M.
Yeah, I figured you weren't sure what
number
conference.
Number 1.
I figured you weren't sure what conference they were in.
I don't know conference. I don't know. I'm not. That is not my strong suit. Kyle Field, though, apparently the toughest place to play in this game, which is interesting. I want to see if they if that comes into play and makes it difficult.
Well,
interesting. So
there should be a momentum meter. There should be a momentum meter in college football. And if you play in a tougher place, it's harder to get your momentum meter going and the other teams goes up quicker.
So here, especially when you're on a roll or something like that. But here, I haven't read a lot about this one, but here's something they say here. Audio and in-game modifiers such as blurred routes, incorrect play art, confidence and composure effects and screen shaking are some of the immersive impacts away teams and players will be forced to contend with.
It's the same thing as Madden, then. Because if you have a rookie kicker and you're playing away on Monday Night Football, like, you can't see your aiming arrow, your kicking is harder, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it's exactly the same as Madden.
There you go.
If you play Madden, you already know what those things are going to be like. And that does happen on Madden, too, when the other team maybe sacked you and you're down 7 and you're trying to drive late in the game, and you go to hit R2 to check your routes real quick again to see where everybody's matched up, and it'll show up for, like, that split second, and then it goes wavy, and you can't even tell what anything is.
Interesting. That must happen with the different difficulty levels and stuff, because the way I had it played, I didn't get any of that stuff, so... That's why I play on easy, baby.
Step your game up. All right, DP, I think that's it this week. Hell of a show. We covered a lot of stuff wrestling-wise, video game-wise, and PC Tunny visiting the gas station-wise. So why don't you let everybody know where they can find you and this shoe?
Well, you can find me not at a Quick Trip, but on my social medias at the worldwide interwebs, and it's me, DPP. And this show at Podcast DWI on the X and Facebook.com/DWI Podcast.
Like I said, folks, Chairshot Radio Network, we just had a brand new podcast debut last week. We got another one coming up here shortly. Big 4 turned into Big 5. Bandwagon Nerds is there. You know, everything's rocking and rolling. Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Sorry if I'm not mentioning you right now. Anybody else? Greg DeMarco Show. Hockey Talk will be turning into Musical Chairs shortly. So... all of that and more, and the return of Aesop Mitchell, Dave Wirtz himself, will be coming back to the network. So make sure you follow AJ Blaz at Phenomenal AJB. Follow me at PC Tunney, Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms. Don't drink and drive, drink and podcast. Thanks once again for listening to DW. Goodbye.
Happy 1,000th post.
Thanks, buddy. To 1,000 more. Huzzah! I ain't never gonna stop!
Claire.
Woo!
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.